Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stories in tech, everything that's meaty that's happened this week. It is a football-free zone. My entire knowledge of football has just been exhausted, so therefore there is nothing left to talk about, so we won't be mentioning the World Cup. Except that the US isn't in it. Hello. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, what a fantastic bunch we have. On Chopper Vision, it's Chris Campion. How the devil are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, work's just continuing to be absolutely crazy manic at the minute, so it's nice to have a Thursday break away from work and join some of my mates and talk some tech.
Excellent, mate. Next to him, it's Jeffrey.
You know, it's always awesome to hang out with you guys, and I want to point out that Ewan, you have also exhausted my football knowledge, both American and proper football.
American and proper football. American and proper football, you got them the right way around. Well done, mate.
I know the proper difference. Football American football is ridiculous. It is micromanagement.
Well, I think it's
with
got
tight pants.
It's gone. America has killed sport in general because what they've done is they've just gone to the stage where they just talk about absolutely anything to try and fill airtime, and it's bollocks. And it's the same in this country for every other sport, including cricket. Now they're just over. What do you think he was thinking there? I think he was shitting his pants that a piece of leather was coming at him at 100 miles an hour.
I would.
Yeah, but he changed his shot. No, he can't have, because the human body can't respond in less than 0.5 of a second. So he was committed to that. And that's why it hit him in the taters.
I'd watch sports if you're doing the commentary.
Oh, I wouldn't be allowed. God, man, there would be uproar. Absolutely uproar. And last but by no means least, in the studio with me, Mel McAnuller. How you doing, man?
I'm fine, mate. Fine.
Had a good week?
Yeah, it's been very busy at work.
No, you do go to a place to volunteer work.
I do volunteer work. Yeah, I've done a couple of days today, and I've taken some kids with learning difficulties around the museum. So,
and the place has been specced out by some Germans.
Oh yeah, I managed to have a conversation with a German that ended with me going, I don't know what you're talking about.
You tried to you tried to show off it with a couple of words, didn't you? And then just thought, that's it, I'm off, running fluent.
Yeah, I did a few stock phrases in my arsenal. I used them.
Messerschmitt.
Cabbage crates coming over the briny and stuff like
Führer.
That.
Führer.
Yeah. Sieg Heil.
Englander.
Yeah. And then he started talking, and I think after about 5 seconds, he thought, "I don't even understand me, does he?" So,
T-Pan has put in the chat room exactly what I was thinking, the Stan Boardman joke, and I'm not saying it because I'm not bleeping. Yeah. I'm not bleeping this week.
No, the funnier group was the group after them. I had some French Canadians, so I got my French jokes out the way on that one.
That's one of the best lines. Have you seen, is it Vertical Limit? The one where they go up K2? I think it's Vertical Limit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got Chris, what's his name in, there's Robin in the Batman movie. And there's a girl in that who's an ex-Bond girl, and he describes it at the start, and she said, this is so-and-so, she's French-Canadian. She basically spits at him and walks off, and the guy goes, some days she's French, some days she's Canadian. I guess today she's French.
I don't think the French actually like the French-Canadians, though, do they? Because they butcher the French language, don't they? They don't use... It's like the Americans butcher English. The French, these Canadians butcher French.
Are you out to just alienate everyone from this network?
I'm being xenophobic like Einstein.
It'll be the Welsh, the Irish and the Scottish next, and then we'll be done. We'll have no listeners left at all. Tom has left the chat room. What's up with all of the guitars by Mullenbiker? I used to have to finish music on videos. So you used to get a CD came, Tom, and it had like tracks on it, samples of music on it. And you'd pick the one you wanted, and then they'd email you, they'd post you, physically mail you a CD that had the music on. And it always finished like Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club. So I used to have to play the end. I had to keep a little selection of guitars around. And it always turns out to be a a point of issue with the Taxman if I ever get inspected. So how did you justify a six-string bass guitar, Mr. Rick? Play some music out. Can you hear it? I haven't put the trumpet through yet, though.
God, that trumpet.
And I haven't got the trumpet down here, so I can't have my lesson off Jeff every week, so I'll have to start bringing it down. Right. The Week in Tech. Who's got the first story? Who's going to kick us off with the best of the bunch?
Boom.
Jeff in first. Jeff is never first.
How is that even possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll let you. Awesome, I'll let you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, I saw that story because that's the one I told you about when I did.
You did tell me about it, and now I can't use it.
Jeff, I'm sorry. Would you like me to come up with a different story?
No, I don't want you to come up with a different story because I haven't got a story at all. Jeff, talk us through Tesla cuts 9% of staff. This quite shocked me, actually, I have to say, as a story.
Well, apparently Tesla isn't making as much money as they would like, and still, after 15 years, has not turned a profit. So they've decided with the growth that they've had that they need to cut staff. And so they started laying people off. And it sounds like a lot of the layoffs, or the majority of the layoffs, are from, I would say, like middle management on up. So the people that are actually building cars, those people don't lose their jobs.
So it's increasing production staff at the moment, and it's cutting the fat, it would seem. Middle management, I guess, is going then.
That sounds like Rolls-Royce's story as well.
Yeah, Rolls-Royce have got a bit more efficient and a bit more productive.
It sounds like most major companies right now, aren't they? They're just cutting out the fat in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, this is proof Tesla's going to fail.
Top and bottom survive, middle's gone.
This is not proof that Tesla's going to fail, I would have thought.
I agree.
Yeah. But it does seem shocking for considering that, you know, the oxymoron of what you've just said there, Jeff, is the way they're dealing with this growth is to cut jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Growth, cut jobs. But if you say, right, I'm going to rob Peter to pay Paul, I'm taking out half a billion pounds worth of middle management jobs and giving them to production staff, then...
Well, maybe it's like what Rolls-Royce is saying, it's to cut down the length of time the messages are getting through from the bottom to the top. So you're cutting out layers. So if there's a problem on the factory floor, it gets to Elon faster. Just like at Rolls-Royce, they're cutting out the middle. I think that's probably right, to be honest. There's just sometimes too many people getting in the way and you can't go around them. A bit like the police. Always been too many layers.
There's an obsession with middle management, though, isn't there? I mean, I know from my own experience that there's an awful lot of people now I have to register with to get jobs with other companies. And it's just like, why do you even exist? I can't get why I have to register with you when I've had a long-term relationship with this company for the last 10 years. Why do I need to register with you? That makes no sense. Yeah, well, you can't get any work with them until you register with us. But I've got a relationship with them. I don't get it.
It's stupid.
It is. And we're obsessed with creating something in the middle that doesn't need to exist.
Yeah. We've been very good at this for a very long time. And apparently Tesla's been so good at it that they had jobs that they didn't even need. So the letter that...
Yeah, is this...
Go on.
Sorry, Jeff. Go on, Jeff.
Oh, okay. The letter that Elon wrote to employees, it said that very thing. We had jobs where we had multiple people doing the same thing. We have jobs that aren't even relevant, and so that stuff is gone.
Right, so they've got people that are working there that they didn't know were working there and doing irrelevant jobs, pretty much.
I think you've got scenarios when there's a company that's absolutely on the up and it's almost a... but budgets are wide open, money's open tap, and you get people in sort of senior upper management positions who create structures to justify their salaries, and then they bring people in and they create structures to justify their salaries, and before you know it, you've got 10 layers between CEO and production, and then it comes a point in time when a CEO's got to grab hold of it, or a CFO's got to grab hold of it and say, hang on a minute, we can't sustain this model, let's look where the fat is. And lo and behold, there's two or three layers of middle management, exactly to your point, jobs are being created for the sake of it, and all of a sudden they're the first people to go. It just makes absolute sense what's not happening in businesses, that it's not being recognised, or it hasn't been recognised early enough that those roles have been created for no apparent reason.
Well, going back to the story though, surely Tesla, the battery's gone. I think surely Tesla can't make enough cars at the moment for the demand.
Well, they've got a lot of problems. I mean, they can't fulfil the demand of the sales, and they also can't manufacture spares, and spares is their biggest issue. If you ding your Tesla, you could be waiting for months and months and months for a repair.
And that's probably been part of the issue, Muller, that somebody's looked at it and said, right, what do we need? Where do we need to allocate funds to up production? And where do we take that money from? Lo and behold, you cut it out of the middle management, and you look at the total cost of employment and middle management compared to production, you'd probably get two for one.
Yeah, you need, you know, the grass is getting a bit long. Let's commission a study as to why the grass is so long.
Yeah.
No, let's buy a mower.
Yeah. Another thing they did was cancel their deal with Home Depot in the United States, because they were selling their Tesla batteries in Home Depots. So they decided that was kind of a stupid idea, and that they should just be selling them direct. So they're canceling that, and the employees that they had in Home Depot to sell the batteries, some of them will have the opportunity to go work at Tesla's other, I guess, like retail front type facilities, but some of those people are just going to be gone.
Why? Wow. I mean, so when you say they're saying the batteries, they're selling them as replacement batteries in Home Depot, or they're selling batteries that you could use for other things because they're such good batteries.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So they have these other batteries that are designed to go into your home.
Yeah,
running off grid.
Yeah, got you. Got that one.
And that's the whole thing that they're pulling out of Home Depot.
Yeah. Okay, because presumably the marketing through Home Depot has been done. Therefore, they don't need Home Depot anymore to be the public profile, but they would have needed them at the start.
You know, that's probably a big part of it
Where's the kickstart to this? Is give it to Home Depot, because their high street will get our logo out. The people go, oh, Tesla. They'll see it when they go in to pick up a bag of nails. And then once that necessity disappears, we'll just kick them to touch, which is harsh but fair.
Maybe they can't buy enough aluminum.
Why?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry,
because of the stupid tariffs.
Oh, right, okay.
We have beer breweries that are having to lay off staff because they can't get the aluminum they need to make kegs and cans.
Oh, if it's affecting beer production, that's not okay. Yeah.
No, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No.
You need to get Trump sorting that out.
Well, you could buy aluminium instead.
I'll give over. Jesus Christ. You're never coming on again. It's twice now. And what are we in? I can't say, it's like 13 minutes in. Jeez. There does seem with Musk to be a bottomless pit of money. Is he just spending venture capital willy-nilly? Or is there... Because, I mean, how much... I can't see how he can get enough income to pay for SpaceX from NASA or from the government to keep it going without it being heavily subsidized. The Elon Musk myth has to pop at some point.
I mean, he made a boatload of money off of PayPal, but
enough,
I mean,
for a space program.
I can't imagine
hypertrain.
No,
and a car that sells at a loss.
Yeah, he has to be getting money.
Got to be
for these projects from other places.
Yeah. I thought he was using his rockets to send up satellites and all sorts, not just NASA.
Well, he is, but I can't see how much money they're getting from that as to whether it'll... Because an R&D project, you'd probably spend over a three-year R&D project, you probably wouldn't recoup that for 9 to 10 years.
Well,
so I can't. He can't be in profit on the space that's subsidising the Tesla. He's got to be getting venture capital through from other people or subsidies from the government to keep it running. In either case, you're creating a bubble, and that bubble will pop at some point, and then lo and behold, it's a recessive market again. No?
But at that point, Elon hopefully won't have to worry about it because he'll be living on Mars.
Yes. as paid for by the rest of us.
Yeah.
Good luck living there.
Having defaulted on our mortgages.
Yeah.
No, I just the Elon subprime market. That's all it is. Do government projects have no limit on cash, says Deep Man. Good pronunciation of aluminum mullabiker, says Tom VF. Well done. Bob has chimed in. We're making this hard decision now so that we never have to do this again, he said. How many times have we heard that? Said Bob. Good point.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in Bob's take on the economics of it, because he's a lecturer in economics. He knows what he's talking about more than us morons do. So where's Elon's money coming from, Bob? You've got till the end of the show.
In the chat.
Elon is leveraged to the hilt, says Tom. Now, come on, Tom. If you know this, you've got... Because I just want to clarify that the libel laws in England are slightly different from America. So Tom said that, not me, and I'm not broadcasting that as the truth. I'm broadcasting that as, really, Tom? How do you know this? It's investigative journalism at this point. Is there going to be a new line of snake oil soon? It's borrowed. It must be, says Bob Beach. So that was quick. I think he'd researched that one very hard, but neither did I in my statement, so I can't complain. We're waiting on Tom to come back about how he knows that he's leveraged to the hill.
Yeah, I was just doing some research about aluminum, and it turns out that aluminium costs a lot more, so that's probably why we're not buying it.
Hey, well, it would do.
I could never tell if you're serious or not.
See, that's the best part, because I can say something like that with a straight face, and now you wonder.
Oh Jesus, Jeff's really stupid. All this time.
Oh my God, I had no idea. Jeff's a total idiot.
Yeah, no. I got to find out why is it with High Sierra that it wants, if you don't sign into your iCloud account and it pops it up 17 minutes in, I've got another one, the other week on the Mac show, it was like poor old James Rickards had gone put a picture in Reader's Wives in Escort or something, got a black strip across his face because I had to block out the fact that it was putting up my Mac address. There's no F off button.
No, there's not.
Unless you sign in, that's it.
It's a ridiculously annoying problem. I'm assuming it's a bug.
No, I'm assuming it's something that they want to pester you until your life ends.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be seeing that all the time. I mean, log into your iCloud account and you're done.
I don't want to log into my iCloud account because they've got too many devices registered. And the devices I do want registered, you only get 10, don't you? 10 computers, and that's it. Or is there any number now?
I'll have to go look at mine because the list that I have is stupid long.
Okay, right. Maybe I should just sign in and then it would go away. That'd be it. Well, you'll get one over your face later, Jeff, but you've probably been in Reader's Wives, so... At some point. He's begging... what's he put? Hang on. Deep Pan's put a thing in. Tesla stock price, Wall Street is beginning to worry the company might go bankrupt. Hey, I worked that out and I'm a twat. Jesus. Wall Street's worrying. Ewan's worried her. That's not even a word.
Why would you?
It is now.
Is it because you won't get your Tesla?
I don't want a Tesla. I'd love a Tesla. I really would love a Tesla, but I'd only want one that was the bollocks, and I wouldn't buy the cheap, nasty one because it's just not me.
I get the X-Pace, $63,000 for an X-Pace.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about that.
That's coming out very soon.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's so cute how you think that.
Said the retired bloke who's got enough money in the bank to buy one if he wants one.
Oh, my missus would kill me if I spent that much money on a car.
Yeah, but the great thing is you could be buried in it, right?
No, he's got bundles of fiver that are wrapped in the bank things, and he just chucks them on the fire in the winter.
They're all white fivers.
Pablo Escobar, nothing on Muller, nothing on Muller.
I open my wallet and there's like muffs come out.
Might buy the curry tomorrow night then.
Eh?
Might buy the curry tomorrow night then.
Of course you are.
No, he does buy his share of the curry, so that's all right. It's not true. That was a joke. That was a cheap joke at Muller's expense, and I apologise profusely, pal.
Like a care.
good story, Jeff. Good story. I think we'll wait and see, but I predict there will be trouble ahead for Mr. Musk. But personally, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. His companies, who knows?
Well, it's the old adage, isn't it? You know, if you owe the bank £1 million, then you should worry. If you owe the bank £10 million, they should worry. So.
Well, that's in civilization, that is.
He is what's it? What's the thing? Leverage to the hilt, to quote Tom Veer. Yeah, again, he reckons. Who's got the next story then? Campionis in.
Oh, I post that one earlier. Yeah.
Sony faces growing Fortnite backlash. Now, we talked about this on the Mac show last week, that Fortnite has come to the Mac, and you can now use it on outside of Steam as well. It's just come on the Mac. It's just there. And I've played it, and I'm crapping, and some little shit kills me every week, or every minute after I've started. I got the other day, and I was running around, and there was so many people playing that I was running around this petrol station. I'd got me axe, and I couldn't get a gun. I was picking up bullets like Billy-O, but I'm dodging bullets left, right, and centre with just me axe in my hand. It's hard. And the kids that are beating me are 5.
I haven't played this game, and you're not selling it well to me.
Oh, mate, no, we've got a BTN, a BTN Fortnite room, right, in the Slack room. And everyone comes on and they said, right, okay, oh yeah, that'd be great. Let's change gamer tags. So they all put their gamer tags in, and every single person to a man has put ... but I'm a bit shit. the only you can find me on the platform at ... but I'm a bit shit. The only person who hasn't is Ellis, because he's not a bit shit. But Fortnite is It's a weird game. I'm eating. We'll come back to that. Go on, Camps. Tell us a story, pal.
I think everybody in the world knows what Fortnite is. But if there's anybody listening who doesn't know what Fortnite is, it's basically just a mass online brawl where around about 100 players at a time can just leap on a small island, fight each other until there's only one left. That's pretty much the game. That's the story.
It's a storyline.
There's rifles, there's axes, there's everything. Grenade launchers all over the place for you to pick up and use.
It's a storyline that's like a Marvel movie, isn't it? The storyline is a Marvel movie. It's just a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Royal Rumble, all thrown in together.
Yeah.
What's happened, and why Sony are facing a bit of a backlash. So, it's now been released for the Nintendo Switch, and loads of people are really chuffed about it now, because not only can you play it at home on your console, but you can take it out on the road with these. And if you're using an Xbox One, you're logged into your Epic Games account, and you've built up your credits, you've leveled up, and all the good stuff that you can do on your games, and you pay for your extra guns, all the sort of stuff for your characters. If you've done that playing on an Xbox One, you can log in on your Switch using your Epic Gamer Tag and carry on, basically. Cross-platform, it all works and everybody's happy. Not so much the case with Sony, though. If you've used your Fortnite account on the PlayStation and you move on to Switch, you can use all the same stuff. It's not all there. Your levels aren't there. You're essentially starting from scratch. And the world's gone into uproar about it. So, yeah, a lot of people unhappy. And at the moment, so Sony haven't really confirmed any sort of what you class as a responsible statement. the Sony spokesman quoted as saying, "We're always open to hearing what the PlayStation community is interested in to enhance their gaming experience. But with more than 80 million monthly active users on the PlayStation Network, where we've built a huge community of gamers who can play together on Fortnite and all online titles." So that tells me at the moment it probably sits in Sony's world that they're not allowing, or they don't want, they're discouraging almost the use of existing Fortnite users being able to transfer and play on Switch.
Yeah, there's a comment here from Ian in the chat room. He says, "Has Cambian got enough bandwidth to play Fortnite based on the fact we missed half of what you said there?"
maybe this is the problem. He's secretly playing Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly. This makes no logic.
I don't know what the hell's going on here. I've got anything internet facing.
I don't understand what the issue is that Sony believes they're solving. Because if they've got... if they've got Sony PlayStation users who've got Switches, which is highly likely because there's a brand loyalty there, why would you stop them going over? The only thing that I thought in my head was that there's a greater proportion of young users, really young users, on the Switch, or as a family device perhaps. And Fortnite is kind of brutal. There's not a lot of blood everywhere or anything like that. But the degree of spite that there is in Fortnite is horrific. And you've got kids that have worked out how to really be pains in the arse. Ellis sits upstairs and bellows at them. You loot. He's sitting there and he's using expletives and he's, "You loot whore." And the other week he's there and he sees one of the loot drops and he looks up and he's like, brilliant. So he gets himself right underneath it. And then he builds a wall around himself so that no one can get in, so that the loot is going to drop and it spills out in his little cabin that he's just built. Except he doesn't put a roof on it because the thing's coming in. So some little shit comes up behind him, waits till it's nearly on him, and then builds a roof on top of what he's built so that it spills out and he gets it all. And Ellis is trapped inside the box and Ellis is bouncing off the walls and going mental. And I'm sat there chuckling, and he's like, what are you bloody laughing at? And I went, that's hilarious, mate. I said, you've been done. You've been outwitted. You've just got to take it on the chin, pal. That's a quality move. And he's like, what? And, and then he turns on me, and I'm like, whoa.
Oh, my God, that is awesome.
But he gets incredibly upset.
The guy who did it, how much was he bouncing around in his bedroom thinking, you're done, mate. You are done.
Yeah.
Is there any voiceover? Can they talk to each other on Fortnite?
If you play on your own in like a mixed game, you get a random person who's on your team. So you split into 50-50 or something like that. Then you hit someone and it's someone who's Spanish or someone who's Japanese or something like that. And you can't understand them off the time.
Because you could imagine like Team Arena, because you could laugh, couldn't you, down the microphone and say things to him?
Oh, Adam tweeted out, Adam put in the Slack room that Unreal Tournament is available through Epic Games as well now. So you can download that on the Mac.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if it's changed, because I got it on Steam and it's the old versions and there's no forums unless they've... But there is a new version of Unreal Tournament was coming out. So I had it on pre-order on Amazon. I cancelled it because I got bored waiting. So maybe it's that one he's talking about.
Right.
Is it Team Arena 4 or something like that?
I don't know. It's Unreal Tournament. So,
it might be the new one. That must be out then. I'll have to have a look.
Ellis has been tankoed, says Bob Beach. And Deep Pan, some days you're the pigeon, other days you're the statue.
It's like when you used to camp in Unreal. You know, you could find that big tower and you could sit in there and camp. And if you were with people who didn't know the game, you could sit there just picking people off with the rifle. And then
they kind of do that. They build these little these big fortresses that go up around, and then they just shoot down from the high ground. But I was playing on a team. Ellis was kind of supervising me on his PlayStation 4 and showing me what to do. And I ran up. I built a platform, and I ran up it to the top along with another person next to me who was a girl character. And I shot someone and got the, yes, I've done them. Then she's on my team, so she can't kill me. There's no friendly fire in it. But she turns round and she shoots the base of my tower out, and I fall to my death, and then she jumps down and steals all my stuff. And it's just like, that's...
What the hell?
Exactly. That's like, that's not okay, but she did it anyway. And that's what I'm saying. The degree of spite that there is in Fortnite is horrific. And some young children, if you think about, you know, Briny likes to have a go at it, but she runs around and gets killed in a heartbeat. But some of the stuff that's done to other people in there who were supposedly on your team would be deeply distressing for some kids if they weren't prepared for it.
You know, you're still not selling this game to me very well.
No, mate.
It's not, because I'm one of the guys that wrote, here's my gamer tag, dot, 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 but I'm a bit shit. So... Well, it's not a middle-aged man's game, I don't think.
I don't think gaming is.
Oh, gaming is? No, there's games I'm pretty good at, and I can hold my own with Ellis on. But it seems like ice hockey and that kind of stuff, whereas it's a lot of the shooting stuff. I mean, shooting with a game controller. Mouse and keyboard, man. Spent too long playing Rogue Spear and that kind of stuff on PC years and years and years ago, when Splinter Cell, when it first came out and that kind of thing. I'm not good on the old shooting with a controller. Not me. So do you think they're gonna buckle then, Camps?
I'm not coming to that. I've just been looking at a couple of other articles as well, and I don't. Sorry, I'm kind of thinking, does Sony think that they've got the market share in the console market? They're too big to share, is my thoughts.
Yeah,
I don't know if you got any of that.
Both Microsoft and Fortnite publisher Epic Games have previously indicated that the Japanese company had chosen to prevent PlayStation gamers competing against other console owners in the title's multiplayer fight. But you can now. I can play against and with Ellis without a problem.
Between Xbox and Mac or something like that?
Between Mac and PlayStation.
Yeah.
It's an open platform game now. Everything can play apart from Switch.
Right,
as far
okay.
As I can tell, Switch is the only device that doesn't let you do it.
That's an interesting then. Why they would? Because you have to register your Epic Games account through your PlayStation account and through your Xbox account, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Is it
so? Why Sony would stop the PSN? The PlayStation Network talking to the Nintendo Network. I just don't get it.
Maybe it's down to industrial stuff. They don't want them accessing their
network. Every network can talk to everyone else on Switch, Fortnite, apart from the Switch.
Yeah, so it's a very intentional choice. Yeah,
very intentional. Yeah. Extremely so. That's it. There is no more. Oh, Christ, here we go. Epic has suggested that it has around 125 million players worldwide. Their servers must be getting... No wonder it takes so long to start the game up.
Wow.
You can be 20 minutes before you get into a game sometimes, depending on how many players are available. God. It's a good game, though. I like playing it, even though I'm crap. What's Fortnite like for IAPs? You get V-Bucks and that kind of stuff, and you can level stuff up and buy... XP, but you can still just sit and earn it. You do get shot a bit quicker, I think. But if you've got if you land next to a gold chest and you pull up a sniper rifle, then you can get people. But I tend to end up shooting them, and then they realise I'm shooting at them, and then they come and get me, and I last about 2 seconds. So. I'm always the pigeon. No, I'm always the statue. Sorry, what am I talking about? Good story, man.
It's pretty much a case here. If you've got a Switch and you want to play it Fortnite, then you're a PSN user. Ultimately, you're just going to have to set up on a new account, aren't you?
Well, complain.
If everybody complains, maybe the book will, but we'll see. Time will tell.
There have been, though, they were talking this morning apparently on the telly. I didn't see it. Sharon was telling me about it, but they were saying that there's some girl's been taken to hospital with dehydration because she's forgotten to drink. She's been playing it for so long. There's some kids with seriously behavioural issues because they've been awake for 48 hours or something playing the game.
That's seriously messed up.
And the thing is,
wow.
Sharon said that one of the presenters was trying to blame the game and saying the game's wrong, the game shouldn't be like this, it shouldn't be so addictive. And she said the other guy was saying, no, it's the parents. Why are the parents controlling the game time?
Yeah.
But having said that, I can guarantee you Ellis is playing Fortnite right now, and he comes home and he plays it, and he loves playing it. And
but
he,
you could stop him by locking his PlayStation away or putting a lock on it.
Just a luck with that, Muller. Jesus Christ.
Oh, he's getting a bit big for you now.
So how much does this game cost?
Ellis is six. It's free.
It's seriously?
Absolutely free. Absolutely free, mate. Ellis is 6 foot one and weighs 16 stone, mate.
Yeah.
And he's not fat. He's just pure muscle.
You can tickle him, though.
Mate, it's getting to the stage where, you know, I can bullshit my way out of a fight with him more than manage to fight my way out of a fight with him. Wait till you see him, mate, tomorrow night. When you come down to the bash camps, you won't have seen him for a while. You just have a look at him. You'll tell.
He weighs more than me now. Wait, yeah. He weighs a hell of a lot more than me, actually. He's a lot more than
me. Yeah. He's probably, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
Yeah, so he's probably not far off you.
Yeah, bigger than me. He won't catch me, but he's bigger than me.
Yeah, no, he won't catch you.
No.
I've still got
won't catch me, technique. But he's bigger
than me. Technique is still on my side. Old Wily Fox, mate.
He won't catch you unless you sit by a PlayStation 4.
Muller, what's the story you brought for us, pal?
Well,
I think it was interesting, this one. Go on.
Yeah, well, it looks like not only are certain countries causing global warming on Earth, but it looks like NASA caused global warming on the moon. They've managed to find out that the astronauts, when they were running around, kicking up all the dust and driving their four-wheel buggies and skidding them around, upset the top layer of the surface of the moon, exposing the black area underneath that hasn't had access to sunlight for billions of years, and it's heated up and raised the temperature of the moon by about 2 or 3 degrees.
Well, there's no atmosphere on the moon.
Yeah, but it's radiation.
It's absorption, though.
Well, it's absorption, but it radiates it out, doesn't it?
No,
it's like a radiator. When it goes around the backside, it radiates it out, and then when it goes around the front, because the moon does go round.
Yeah, it goes round at the same rate as the Earth.
Yeah, and that's why we only see one. Yeah, but so when it's on the backside, it's obviously radiating. When it's on the facing the sun, it's sucking it. It's sucking it up. But it's radiating it on when it's on the cold side, so it's keeping it warmer.
Right, okay.
That's how I think they're saying. But whatever they're doing, it's the scientists say it's gone up by about 3.6 degrees due to them kicking up all that dust, or the regolith, as they call it.
Okay, so...
It's nothing to do with hairspray and deodorant, this?
No.
No.
It's yeah, so with so with the regolith exposed, the surface temperature, meaning the ground itself at the surface, is 2 degrees centigrade higher.
Yeah, so I get the principle of what they're saying is that there is the silvery stuff that we always look at, and that is bright and white and reflects, because hence the picture of Armstrong in the shadow of the Apollo lander, that all the debate was about with the conspiracy theorists. But they've run around and they've churned that top dried layer off. So now there is a darker layer underneath, which is exposed. And my thought process is, well, what they're saying is that because it's a dark layer, it absorbs more energy from the sun and therefore heats the moon surface itself.
Because
it can't then radiate it back out, because it's not radiating it into anything. You can't radiate without an atmosphere.
You can, radiation?
It's not radiating back out. It's just, it's temporarily raised it out. And then when it dissipates the heat, because heat's a really poor energy source, when it, like you said, when it goes around the shadow side, it loses all that heat.
Yeah.
Oh, just through cooling. But when it comes back round, it's now absorbing more than it traditionally would do.
And apparently even the probes they're using to measure the temperature are causing temperature change themselves.
Schrodinger's cat.
So they're using it at the moment to design better instruments for future moon landings.
Oh shit, is the moon going to explode and destroy the Earth, says Bob Beach.
That would have happened in 1999.
I think
it?
That was facetious.
Yeah, that would have happened in September 1999. Yeah.
Did you see the thing that after they finished with the lunar missions, they were going to deliberately crash one of the I can't remember what it was. It wasn't a satellite.
The LEM modules. Those were all crashed back into the surface of the moon.
Well, no, there was one that was really heavy, and they deliberately crashed it back in to see what would happen. And they said that the moon rang like a bell for four hours.
They had sensors on all of the limbs so that after they were released from the command module, they were intentionally crashed back into the lunar surface.
Yeah.
So yeah, that you are right. That happened, and it happened more than once.
And anyway, they've polluted the moon anyway by leaving stuff there. And let's face it, 70s technology or 60s technology even, they probably didn't clean the bugs off. So, because isn't that the problem with this launch that's currently going around Jupiter? They want to crash it into Jupiter because they don't want it landing on Io. Is it Io or Europa?
Europa's the one.
They want to protect Europa, so they're worried that there might be some, that they know now that bacteria are quite tough little buggers and they can actually survive in space, and they're worried about polluting Europa. Yeah. So I wonder whether we've also, due to 1960s science, America got to the moon, but they didn't have the knowledge to protect the moon.
But the moon's not contaminatable.
Ah, but if you read the article as well, didn't some of the astronauts get like a cold or like they got some sort of fever off the regolith? So they think that might have been caused by something in the regolith, and that the astronauts might have transmitted something back to the regolith.
Well, they can't have transmitted it to the regolith on the moon. It would be the moon rocks that they brought back.
Yeah, but if it opened up the lander, didn't they? So this stuff could have escaped through the right. When they were transferring. The article's quite difficult. It's written for scientists, not for us. But it sounds But I'm just thinking 60s technology. We didn't realise that bacteria were quite so tough.
Yeah.
And these bacteria are now possibly on the moon, and we put them there. Well, the NASA did. Probably without the knowledge, because they didn't know about the how tough biology was.
So we're going to get a bad welcome when we go back to.
We could
the moon,
do. There could be somebody there now.
Loads of bacteria. They're going. You bastards! You took your time.
Yeah, you left us here.
I only stepped out for a pee and a coke.
I wanted to come home. It is a possibility, though, isn't it? That we've maybe left more than we took, and we could have. Go back and there's something behind it.
Swamp rat, that's no moon. Bob Beach, pity there's no real scientists on here.
No.
Bastard. But thanks, Bob. Yeah, you're right. I can't argue.
I just thought it was an interesting article. Plus there's a number of people keep going on about the landings were fake.
It just feels like a few footprints raising the surface temperature of the moon by 4 degrees is massive. It just feels disproportional. Feels too hard. Too hot.
Yeah, but you saw by some of them boy racer, I mean, astronauts were playing with those lunar rovers. I mean, they thought they were doing stock car racing or something. They were tearing up the planets. And they did quite a lot of mileage, didn't they? They did something like 20, 30 miles.
The last one, 17, because they had a geologist on, didn't they? I can't remember his name.
Yes, they did.
And they deliberately had the rover, and they took it to miles and miles. They drove for hours to look for different... Because didn't they think that at one point he thought they'd found orange rocks? And it was just the way that the light was falling. They gathered all this stuff together, got it back to the lander, and it was still grey. It was just still the same old shit.
Yeah.
What's that stuff that you want to find on the moon? Helium-6 or something?
Helium-3.
Helium-3.
It's there. The whole moon is covered in helium-3.
So we're
going to... There was a thing saying today that there's massive deposits of titanium as well.
Well, yeah.
Because everything we're constituted of is the same thing on the moon, isn't it? Because it's part of us.
There'll be lithium there. We're going to be short of lithium.
We're getting real short of lithium.
There's loads of it in
the sea. All the bipolar people are going to go real nuts soon. I might be in that group myself, but I'm not on medication.
Yet.
Yet.
Okay, that's the end of that one, because that's not scientists.
No, quite. My story is a fairly simple one, and I don't know what to think on this one. Microsoft is working on a till-free shopping tech system that it reckons it can rival Amazon. Now, Microsoft is doing some really good stuff at the moment, but I just wonder whether it can whether it's doing a lot of inventive stuff, but whether it's actually grabbing hold of the market and putting a marker down that means that it's going to make any money from it is an awful lot more of a discussion to have, because they've got loads of ideas. Satchin's doing really, really well, mm-hmm. but how much of it are they going to make stick? And this is one of the ideas that I think is pie in the sky.
Is this more a scenario so that Amazon in line with, is it Whole Foods that they're partner that they bought?
Yes.
In the US? Yeah. So Amazon have got their store. And they've got it in a couple of cities in the US and they're live. And yes, Amazon will probably roll out some stores worldwide with the technology they've been put in place. Microsoft isn't going to do that. What Microsoft's going to do is sell the platform to every store, or try and sell the platform to every store out there, and allow multiple stores to run it. So I think if Microsoft can pull the technology together, which they can sell to other supermarkets, no, I think there's some go in that. You mean, if I look at our Asda, so there's an Asda, a huge Asda, not far from where I live. That, up until probably 18 months ago, probably had 30 checkout queues and 4 or 5 self-checkouts. Now it's got probably 20 self-checkout individual sort of stations. Then it's got the conveyor belts. It's probably got half a dozen conveyor belts with the self-checkout at the end of it. And then it's got a central section, which is where everybody can walk around with a little barcode scanning guns as they work through and scan everything into the trolley and walk through, sort of dock it, pay and go. And it's got about 5 sort of manned checkouts at the end now. So somebody like Asda is absolutely shifting down the self-service route now. So if they can get throughput quicker by taking out some of that manual tracking, I think Asda over here would absolutely be up for something like this. Yeah, scan and go, that's right, Bob.
Asda's already got a scan and go system.
They've got the scan and go system, but what Asda don't have right now is the tracking of what you're putting in your trolley. So when you get to the end of it, you don't have that separate element of it. You just walk through, it charges your account, and off you go.
Well, but it has to know what you've got in that scan and go device. I can't see how it's not achieving this already.
It does, but at the moment you're scanning, aren't you? You're manually scanning, putting it in, going, docking your device at the end and paying. Whereas this technology, if they're mirroring the Amazon scenario, it's tracking what you're putting. So it sees you walk up to the shelf. It sees what item you take off the shelf. You put it in your trolley and you walk through, and you don't really have, other than maybe scanning your phone out, similar to the Amazon scenario, you're not having to do the middle bit. It's done for you.
That would solve a problem that was in the news where people were putting avocados on, but they were weighing, telling the machine it was carrots, and then one of the supermarkets reported they'd sold more carrots than they'd actually bought because people were lying about the vegetables that they were putting on the weighing scale. So they were paying for carrots. Jeez. When they were actually avocado. Didn't you see that? It was last week.
No, I didn't see that story.
Yeah. So no. That would actually solve the problem that we've got at the moment, is that there are some thieves out there using these guns. And who are fooling the machines deliberately. Unless you get a rescan, you can get away with money.
Well, it says cameras and sensors are tracking what leaves the shelves, but you can't do it for live produce because there's no sensors on the live produce other than you've reached your hand in, and then it's like a hotel minibar.
There could be a ticket. The ticket could maybe read. I don't know.
I think the way Amazon is doing it in their test stores is... all the produce, it sits in bins that are actually scales, so it's doing it by weight. So it knows what bin you took something out of. Therefore, you need to be charged this amount for the weight of that type of produce.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a bugger if two people reach into the bin at the same time, isn't it?
I just can't. I don't see how this. Yeah. Like I said, they do some really great stuff. They come up with some fantastic ideas, but I just don't see how they make it stick. And Deepan says, MS Tech will watch everyone as they go around the shop and track what you pick up. Yes, I get that's the idea of it, but I don't get the how.
But that will that already happens. That happens with Tesco Club cards. That happens with the Scan and Go already, because you signed up to an account, you're scanning, it links what you're scanning to your account, therefore to you.
Yeah, but you're scanning,
and you leave a data trail.
Yeah, but you're scanning.
Yes.
This is suggesting a scan-free system. You just pick up whatever you like and shove it in your basket, and then it knows to charge you.
Which is the Amazon Go model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same, but Amazon Go are using it in Amazon stores. Microsoft will sell their offering to Asda, to Morrisons, to Sainsbury's, to everybody else.
They're in partners with Asda, so Asda's going to have some kind of exclusivity on this.
Mm.
I would have thought. They can't. They wouldn't be entering into it without an exclusive deal that will last for 5 years, 3 years.
They'll have an exclusive deal, I think, in terms on. I don't think it'll be as long as that. I think it'll be a price, so Microsoft then can use it as a sales tool to other retailers to say, we've got Asda on board and they're loving it.
Yeah. Well, Asda's, I don't know if they're still the biggest in this country or not, but they can't be far off. And they've got some stores. Yeah,
there might be some element of exclusivity, but I bet it's not for very long. I bet it's in price that they might have a 5 year deal at a reduced price for 6-12 months of exclusivity, but then Microsoft will absolutely be throttling, pushing it out to other retailers at an increased cost.
Yeah, Trig says there's talk of RFID tags on every single item. You then just push the trolley through and something would then scan everything in a split second, but I think this is talking about taking it off, you know, when you put it in, you take it off the shelf, it knows you've got it, and then when you put it in the basket, it knows it's got it, and the charge is made, or the potential charge is made.
And it could do that through RFID tags.
Yeah.
Or it could do it through camera tracking, or weight. There's loads of ways that they can make it work.
Mm. Interesting. There was some Bart Bouchot tweeted something out the other day that said Microsoft are doing the following, and I was just like, that's so cool, but they've got to make it stick, and there's an awful lot that they're doing that doesn't feel like they are making it stick. Great ideas, not the Microsoft of my youth, as Jeff said last year or the year before, but not actually making anything change.
I have to say, I've been very, very impressed with Cortana on Windows 10.
Yeah.
I'm using, and Bob will probably agree in the chat room. I'm using my Surface Pro more and more at work now, and I love it. Well, I don't know if I'd want one at home. I think I still prefer Mac at home just because of the time with my other devices. But from a work point of view, comparing it to my previous HP laptop, the Surface Pro on Windows 10, I'm really enjoying it.
Have you tried opening apps with it? Just say open such an app, and you just.
Yep.
Appears. It's absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it never used to work, but it absolutely works brilliant now.
Well, Cortana was always good, though. If you looked at all of the voice assistants when they were phones when they first came out, Cortana was consistently better and consistently more accurate than the Google offering and Siri, which isn't hard, but they've always had the best voice recognition system.
Mm. Well, it works quite well on the computer because it, you know, you'll sort of say, can you close down this computer? Do you want me to shut down? And then she says goodbye to you, or if you want to open an app, it just works. And it's you know, you try it with Siri and you just get, oh, here's a website. Oh, no, that's not what I asked.
Mm.
But another thing you can use Cortana for is searching the web.
Yeah.
And I've done that a few times, and it uses Bing, but Bing's not too bad, but...
Bing is Googling.
I have been really impressed with Cortana on that. she's getting as at least as good as the other one. I'm not mentioning its name.
The A-Lady?
Yeah. It's getting as good.
Yeah, she falls down on web searches, though. Pretty badly.
Well, I'm using the G1 more now as well for the home automation. Because the Google one can be quieter, and she just does it and doesn't give you a lot of stuff afterwards, just goes, okay.
Yeah, Ian's mentioning Siri and saying, open the mail app, and she says, here are cinemas near you. my standard bugbear.
Here's some raw chicken.
Bob says, I'm on my now. It's great. I'm guessing he's talking about his Surface rather than something else, but there you go. And how come Camps has got perfect audio and video?
He's using his Surface now.
Now.
Have no idea. No idea what's going on.
I think you stopped playing Fortnite.
Maybe it's that Erin's finally fallen asleep and tucked her iPad safely away somewhere.
That's probably it, yeah. That would figure it out. What time? I can tell you the exact time that it got better later on, and then you can say, right, that's definitely
Erin. I know what time she went to sleep.
Erin causation. This podcast and all the rest of it is brought to you by Telestream. Thank you to them for their support and sponsorship. We had a little bit of a glitch last week getting the Mac show running because we had some issues with it. But it was the tech support was unreal last week. Could not get over, you know, raise a ticket. 15 minutes later, I've got Sean on an email exchange. Yeah, here's what you want to do. It's not a problem. It's just one of those things. And it was just an incompatibility of setting the intensity shuttle up with Wirecast 9 for the first time. As soon as I'd done what he said, bang, it's up and running, and we were good to go. Unfortunately, I'd taken a long time before I actually sent in a tech support ticket, so we missed out on the big show last week. I do apologize, but Mac show ran smooth as silk, apart from the fact I should have taken the time to check that the Mac minis were working, and two of them weren't because we had a power cut here a while ago, so I need to get those fixed in the morning when I come in. But thanks to Telestream, they make Wirecast, which is a fantastic piece of broadcast software. If you want to go for, in a church or a sports venue or something like that, and you want to broadcast the action, this is such a great piece of software for doing change of shots and graphics and going to third-party computers using the desktop presenter. And also you can control pan, tilt, and zoom cameras with it now as well in the app itself. So you can start moving remote cameras around to show whatever you want. It's a great piece of software. And don't forget to check out ScreenFlow as well, because that's another Telestream piece of software, which is essential if you want screen capture. It is just a great piece of software. I don't know what that was. And thanks also to UK2. They give us the servers to work on. And without them, we really would be struggling to broadcast to you. So thanks a lot to UK2. And last but by no means least, it's buggered it. I don't know. So those are my Uniku glasses. Those are what they're going to look like when they come back. And I had a picture that was there. They've already come back. I only got measured on Monday, and already here we are at Thursday, and they arrived this morning. Mark sent me a picture of them, which I can't show you. Serendipity, mate. And I said to him, so you're coming down tomorrow? And he went, no, I've got a meeting in Manchester at the time of the Mac show. I can't come down. And he's like, oh, you fucking... So, I'm going to have to wait for my glasses a little bit longer. But they are here. They are back. 10 days is a production record, I think. So it's awesome. Can't wait to get them and try them on. They look great. And the ones that I tried on at Wrexham when I got measured, were they felt great as well. They're really light, really good stuff. I'm excited. I'm a little excited, I have to say. Mark mentioned you as well, Camps. He said he needs to get you back in and get you sorted with some redos.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I need some redos because I keep drop kicking my glasses. I've been rubbish with them over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, but I'll get in touch with Mark and we'll get hooked up.
Bob says they look cool, which means Bob will own a pair after next week. Because Bob has all the cool tech. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Mr. Campion.
Has anybody beat me to picking the Sonos Beam yet?
No.
Has that been a pick? Fab.
No,
got it.
Sonos.
Well, I haven't got it. I wish I had it.
Have you pre-ordered?
There's the link.
Bob says, Sonos. Actually, I do need new glasses. Well, 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 there's a surprise.
Podcaster. Is it podcast at hoyer.com,
podcasts,
is it?
Podcasts at hoyer.co.uk.
Co.uk. Get in touch, Bob. Get yourself sorted. So, yeah, my pick this week, the Sonos Beam. Sonos announced this last week, the new smart compact soundbar for the TV. This just looks lovely. So essentially, Sonos have streamlined their former soundbar. They've integrated Alexa in there, so yeah, you can go, you know, straight onto your Amazon Music. It has got, it's AirPlay compatible, AirPlay 2 compatible for your iOS devices as well. Straight to it, and they're doing it for £399, which is about £200 cheaper than their previous soundbar, and it just looks too good. Looks so nice. I want one. It's on pre-order now. $399, £399.
Dave Hamilton got to check one out at the media event for the launch, and he said it sounds great.
Yeah, I can believe. And then obviously you can, what one thing that I like about this, you can then almost use it like as a bit of a bridge for your original Alexa, for your original Play 1 devices as well. So you can, through AirPlay 2, use this, link up to your other Sonos devices and use that. This is a bit of a bridge from how I've read it. It does sound so good at that price.
Excellent, mate. I've just bought a bloody thing for the TV, and I would have held on if I'd known it was going typical.
Yeah. Typical. I mean, if what Jeff just said there around what Dave Hamilton's saying, and if the quality of the Sonos sound from the Beam lives up to all the other devices that I've heard of there so far, it's going to be brilliant. I think they've got the price point bang on here at £399.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that. Like that a lot. Excellent. Right, Jeff, what do you have for us, mate?
I have a it's a portable SSD. So here's the deal. I needed to get an SSD so that I could install and test macOS Mojave. And I found this thing on Amazon. It's from SanDisk. It's a 500 gigabyte SSD that you can get other sizes too. And it's USB 3. But what they don't tell you on the packaging or in the description is that it's USB 3, but the connector is USB-C. And it comes with a USB-C cable. So if you have a computer that already has USB-C, great, you can just plug it straight in. But then it also comes with a little USB 3, so a USB-A style connector to USB-C, so you can adapt it to a USB-A style port. And it's this tiny little thing. It's $139, and it's been great. And I like that it has a little loop on it, so I can hook it onto something and take it around without worrying about losing it.
500 gig for $139 in a little format like that is not bad at all. And like SanDisk, I've got to say, I have had good reliability with SanDisk. I've never had one crap out on me yet. So, whereas I have with Kensington.
It's
a big positive.
Yeah. So when I saw it was from SanDisk and the price, I was in, and then when it showed up and it was USB 3 over USB-C, that was just like a surprise bonus.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that one. Muller, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a map of the inland waterways of Great Britain.
Oh, mate, that is high tech.
It is high tech. But I use my bike, and I'm going farther afield now. I'm getting fitter. And I've got bored of my cycling down to Stratford-upon-Avon, so I'm finding my way over to Dudley and using all the canals around there. It folds out.
You've cycled from Tyseley to Dudley?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And back.
That's committed.
Yeah, I needed to be. I'm doing about 40 miles, 50 miles now, but
So far, you haven't sounded very healthy during that.
No, no. But I mean, the trouble is, you know, the Birmingham canals are quite complicated.
Oh, hell yeah.
So if you go by my house and you go down to Stratford-on-Avon, they're fairly simple. But if you go up the Birmingham main line, they're branching off all over the place. They go to Dudley, Wolverhampton, Walsall, Brownhill. In fact, I cycled up to Brownhills on Sunday. And I didn't realise, because I didn't have this in time, that I could have turned left and come back down the Tyne Valley.
So just to be clear, you've come on a tech show and you've picked a map that's not available on tech.
Yes, it is. You can actually have it on your Kindle.
Okay, that's great. You're not, I can't have it on iOS.
No. You
bought a paper one.
I bought the paper one because I wanted the paper one.
How do you fare without opening it up and navigating while cycling next to a big pool of water?
What I actually do is I actually photograph the bit I want and email it to my Kindle.
But even though you can buy an edition of that for the Kindle.
On your Kindle. But you got it in paper.
So what do you do then?
So that you can photograph it and send it to your Kindle.
Yeah, but the Kindle one, I would imagine was quite difficult to find. I could actually just take the bit I want and photograph it. Or could have it on my phone that way as well.
Mate, you've just got to accept it.
Do you then mount the Kindle on the handlebars?
No.
So what do you do with the Kindle?
I can
check the map when you're out?
I can do it. Well, I have to stop, don't I? But I've got it on my phone, actually, the main map I got the other day, if you really want to know that. I've got it in I'll put it into the iBooks as well.
I've got a Norman Wisdom, Mr. Grimsdale map billowing round your face, not being able to see where you go head first into the canal, sketching me head, mate.
I've got a question for you. What do you call a group of kittens?
Go on, a litter?
No, a Kindle.
Are they a Kindle of kittens? Is that the truth?
That's the truth.
Bloody hell, you learn something every day.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I wanted to learn it, but okay.
Well, that's technical related, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm still in awe that you brought a piece of paper to a tech show.
Oh, I'm sorry. It had to be printed on some very complicated
paper.
And I use electric bike and it's quite good.
What happens when you make it to the edge of the photograph? You have to turn around and go on then.
Well, basically, I've got all the Birmingham area, and I'm not going much farther than the Birmingham area, to be fair.
Well, he's taking the piss. I know. You don't need to explain that.
So I'm trying to verify this. A group of kittens is called a Kindle.
If it isn't, I'm going to get
You're
a point.
Talking shite, yeah. Sorry, Jeff.
An intrigue. Oh, you know what? You're right.
Of course Kindle. I am.
Yep.
A Kindle of kittens.
Verified.
Thank you. And Deep Pan says, how is Muller getting on with his new penny farthing?
I'm doing all right, yeah. I've almost done 2,000 miles.
Bloody hell.
So I'll take a photograph when I finally break. I'll break it by the end of next week, definitely, but I've probably got maybe 3 days.
How long have you had the bike? About a year and a half now?
No, about a year.
About a year, a bit more. Because I was at the old place, so it must be nearly a year.
Yeah.
It must be over a year.
I bought it just before you moved.
That's right, yeah.
Because I sold me other one. I want to get another bike, though, because I want a road bike as well. So I might have to treat myself to one. But not electric, just a normal road bike.
My cool thing is a Roman pendant that I found in the back garden. Now, my cool thing is the Theta app. The Theta app. And you're going, well, what's the Theta app? Well, it's made by Rico, who do imaging and that kind of stuff. It's a free piece of software for your iPhone. It's available on the Google Play Store as well as, and you can get it for the Mac. If you've got a 3D camera or 3D camera facility and you can get hold of 3D images off the net, then you can display them in this thing and you can mess around with them and do tiny world pictures and do screen captures off it and that kind of stuff. It's got a fairly limited editing capacity, but it's good enough. And if you can download a 3D image from a browser and save it onto your iOS camera reel, you can manipulate it in this thing. It's really powerful. It's really, really well done. It's got 3 stars on the store, which I think is really harsh considering it's a free piece of software that does what it says on the tin. You can't expect a lot more, but it's absolutely brilliant. I absolutely adore it. I bought a 3D camera and I have had no end of fun messing with this. And also other software as well, which is free of charge. You do not need to pay money for good software for doing 3D editing. It's a great world out there. get yourself onto YouTube and look at the resources that are around, and you'll find loads of stuff that's well worth having.
We use that app at the museum to take photographs, so that if we get people that are disabled,
yep,
we can sit down and they can literally scroll around and show them things that they can't see.
Brilliant. And that's on Theta?
Yeah, because I click on Theta it Plus. And they got some pictures in there, and you can literally scroll up and down, and it's, you know, so that it's like if you're in the room and you can zoom in and you can zoom out.
Yeah.
Because I was using it today.
Well, well, well.
I know, because I saw that, and as soon as I saw that, I don't recognise that now.
There you go.
I want to try it myself.
Good, good. Mr. Campion, where can we get a hold of you?
Get me at UK.
Oh, hang on, stop.
I've done it. Campion UK on Twitter. You can, all my running stuff's on Instagram, Campion UK on there. And then in the Slack room.
I've done it again. I've forgotten about the bloody bash.
Bash.
I get all the way to the end of the show. Everyone, Bob's gone.
Let's do the bash.
The bash. The bash is coming up. It's the 6th, 7th and 8th of July. Not long now at all. 6 for the curry. We're going to be here for a Mac show at 4 p.m. So come along for that. I can now seat 13 people in this room. How cool is that? I've got a nice little meeting table over. See, behind Muller, I've got a meeting table. Look, and I got stools that I bought. I had 8 people round for a meeting this week, and I bought 8 stools for them, which was brilliant, except I forgot to buy a stool for myself. Forgot to count myself.
Sit on your ball.
I only bought 8 instead of 9, which I should have bought. But we can have loads of people in here. We're going to do a Mac show, and then when we're finished here, we're going to bugger off up to the hotel and park all the cars and stuff, and then mosey on over to the Kismet. There's a curry for the Kismet, which is a £10 deposit, but you get that back against the cost of your meal. And then we'll just go back to my place and drink into the evening with the lights on and that kind of stuff. There's an extra venue now for the hotel. There's a place out at Minworth, which is only a £5 taxi ride. And they're £39 a room, and they don't change their price. So they're all there's 19 rooms, and there's £39, and that's it. And there's breakfast included in that, and it's a cracking breakfast as well if you really want it. Or you can come to my house and have a bacon and egg sandwich before we get started. Then we got the bash on the day of the link at the 7th. And then on the Sunday, there'll be breakfast at my place, as is always. Come round, have a bacon or a sausage sandwich and a cup of tea and a coffee before you head off the road. And if you are going to stick around, you're more than welcome to stick around for another day. And there'll be a barbie in the afternoon at my place. That's the bash. It's well worth coming to. If you've not been, it should be on your bucket list, and you should come and check it out. Bob Beach. Great to see you there, mate, and a few others that are watching. Right, we've done camps. We got where you can get you, mate, so thanks very much. Do apologise.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, where are you?
I'm hanging out over at macobserver.com and on lots of podcasts. And I'm on Twitter, Jay Gamut, and Instagram, same thing.
There's sparkling news here. Deeppan says that he's found a 2 terabyte version of that SanDisk, and it's the same dimensions. Really? That's incredible.
Maybe it's thicker.
Put a link in the chat room, Deeppan. For God's sake.
How expensive is it, though?
Camp says, who is coming to the bash? Jeff says yes, but he's not. He's lying.
Oh, sorry. I was replying to Deeppan.
All right.
Yeah, the 2 terabyte version of that in the U.S. is $600.
Oof. Trying to look. Oh, yeah.
Where to buy? Any idea how much the cost is in that? 2 terabytes. Find local. £680.
Oh, that's expensive.
2 terabytes, though, I suppose.
SSD. That's not bad.
You could get 2 1-terabytes for less than that.
You could get 2 1-terabytes for 500
yeah.
or 410, 420, but they wouldn't have a casing. They'd just be loose. They wouldn't have the kind of ruggedness.
Okay,
kind of, it's not bad. I'm all right with that.
You could buy a case off Amazon.
Amazon £599 on Amazon. £599. It doesn't give you the link. It just says, do you want to buy? Go on, buy.
Buy.
Just spend the money.
Just do it.
What's £600? It's nothing. And it's in the UK store as well. So what's
£600? That's 2 terabytes. That's what £600 is.
Yeah, exactly. Muller, where can we get a hold of you, pal?
Muller Biker on Twitter. I haven't got a website anymore, so that's it. Thank you.
You haven't got a website anymore? I didn't know you had one to start with.
I had one called Muller World, but it was on CompuServe.
Maps I have followed. CompuServe.
Please tell me it had animated GIFs all over it.
Oh, yeah, it did, yeah. And it flashed at you.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. That's glorious.
GeoCities.
I might still have a. I might still be there, actually, because it had Alistair on it when we went down to London and I got.
It might still be there, right?
Well, you never know. I never had to pay for CompuServe. I got it free. I was at a meeting down in London, and a woman who I can't remember, Violet Berlin. I was playing her up on. I logged in as her, and they were doing a live chat to the world, and I vopped in her, and I blagged her, and the CompuServe bloke found it so funny. He gave me a ticket for free 12 months, and they never, ever, after the 12 months finished, charged me for
it. Never charged you for it, because they went bust. Deep Pan, under construction gifts, he says. Question mark. Damo, getting over for the curry, he hopes that's fine. Don't worry about it. The curry, we kind of start moseying on into the curry house about 6:30-ish, but we never eat in before 8 o'clock anyway, so there's no great rush. He's coming here for the match show, is the best bit. That's cool. Loads of us here.
I might get a train and drink.
What, on the Monday night?
On the Friday.
On the Friday night?
Yeah, I can get the train to there, can't I?
You can get it to Coastal Parkway from town, yeah. We're 200 yards, literally, from Coastal Parkway Station, so you can get a train here and waddle over here to the offices, and then there'll be someone who'll give you a lift back to the curry house. That's not an issue at all. If not, it's only a £4, £5 taxi journey, so not much. My name's Ian Rankin. You can get me at Ian Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on @BritishTech. We'll be back again next week, same time, Thursday night, 8 p.m. for a live show. Come and join us. It'll be great fun. And we'll be here with the Mac Show tomorrow afternoon. And James Rickards is going to be in the studio. He's in England. He's a granddad now as well. Unreal. Unreal. Mm-hmm. We've had two granddads this week, haven't we? Old Dave as well, in I Confess to My Geek. He's turned into a granddad already as well. And his grandchild looks like him, poor sod.
Oh, no,
it's a spit of him. It really is the spit of him. It's not Winston Churchill at all. It's David Dean. See you next week. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.